This episode of Guns Blazing is brought to you by the people at 3Chi. 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and a great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. So go to 3Chi.com to shop for Delta-8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, gummies, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S, the numbers 21, at checkout to receive 5% off your order. That's code GUNS21 at checkout to receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stackade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
Got to be careful at the Mexican strip club, all right? The girls look young, all right? They're legal, but they're barely legal. It's like it's gonna be midnight, and they're like 17 and a half, and it's like, all right. It's like a New Year's countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, hit the pole, baby, you're legal. I'm telling you, one of these girls didn't even have high heels. She had tennis shoes. She was dancing. Little lights were coming on the back and stuff.
I had fucked up, Todd. Now, whenever I fucked up on this tour with Gabriel Iglesias, Gabriel's not the dude that tells you you fucked up. Martin's
the one that tells you that you fucked up.
Yeah, so like Martin is like my, he was like the dude that kept me in check for a while, right? As good as he could.
You like the bouncer?
You know what it was? It was me trying to keep myself in check. Like, just trying to like, okay, we're going to go crazy. Let me just try not, because listen, sometimes it was hard to keep any of us in check. It was just buck wild times, bro. It was, yeah. You know, you're living on a bus, and you, there was a, if the bus was leaving, it didn't wait for you. And there was plenty of times we missed the bus, bro, where you had to catch a flight to the next city. Cause shit just got, you know,
a little too good.
It got a little too good, but you know what? No regrets, man. It was, It was a lot of fun, bro. We did a lot of waking up thinking, wondering what the hell happened last night. At least I did. I can speak for myself, where I'm just like, okay, I'm in one piece. I'm back at the hotel. Who brought me here? I don't know, but thank you. And did that in Europe a couple of times. Did it in it seems like all over the world, bro.
The Europe run was wild, bro.
The Europe run was wild.
Now, let me do this real quick. I want to give everybody, give you a proper introduction. Welcome to today's episode. You know, Guns Blazing Podcast. You know, we don't usually do like an intro like this because we always fuck off right out the gate. I talked to my buddy Martin. Okay. We've been buddies since 2007-ish, 2008. We started to get to know each other.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Before we lived together for years and became really good buddies. But Martin's been doing comedy since, at least late 90s.
99, the end of 99 is when I started, bro.
Nice.
Yeah, started at 99 and obviously kept working his way up, got a bunch of TV credits, kept it moving, doing all his own thing, his own podcast now with his son Hooter, which is called the Yo 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 Podcast. Very funny. I mean, what a wonderful dynamic with him and his son. I lived in that podcast for years. It was just the three of us. And Martin Moreno and myself, we toured with Gabriel Iglesias from 2000. I started going on the road I went in Houston, was like late 08. And then I went like once or twice in 09. And then that's when Fluffy took me to Hawaii. And then I was on the tour for like the next four and a half years or so. We just lived on a bus.
You know, you glossed right over that. Because in 08, when we went to Houston, you ended up with a goddamn tattoo.
This beast, this big ass.
That's where that started?
Yeah, this one right here, bro. We went to Houston, like, and also, like, whenever you go with these dudes, it's like mafia without the crime. You know, you do have the cash from the merch. It does look like a fucking, like a drug dealer, a vehicle at the end of the night when you're counting it all of that fluffy money. you know, wrapped up in bands and shit. But, you know, and we did the stuff that we did was very gangstery. Like, we didn't have the suits on, but we ordered every appetizer on the menu and we sat there all the way through, maybe a lot of times drinking Patron and beers and whatever else. And sometimes with coffee at the end, just like the Godfather. Fluffy just calling shots with a whole staff of people, just like the Godfather. I mean, it's very gang related. It's very like mob, not gang, mobish in a way. And we did, but we had this because no one gets in. Like if you're not already in, and I barely, I mean, I couldn't even believe I got in. And I was like the newest dude by a long shot, by 10 years to get in. And but then once you're in, it's just a fucking ride, bro. And, you know, Martin was always like, he always fight, you know, he'll be fucking around with us, but he always had that, you know, Todd, like he always had you know, he just had you, like, he always still thought the thought process never viewed off because he's fucked up a lot in his life previously.
Yeah. He'd been there, done that. He didn't want any of you guys to fucking lose your jobs.
Yeah. He's already done all of our fuck ups and probably several times.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy because you would think that you learn through experience and through the years, and you try to take the life lessons. And I just celebrated my 53rd birthday a few weeks ago.
Happy birthday, buddy!
Thank you. And you would think that at 53, you got your shit a little together. And I started day drinking, and then the mimosas started flowing, and then people were downing, you know, mimosa carafes. And I'm trying to keep up because they're calling me grandpa. And now then there's shots flowing. And now we're at another bar. Make a long story short, I fell. I scraped up my elbow. And, you know, I love that you guys laugh because some people are like, oh, my God, you fell. Clearly, those people never drank like us. Right. Yeah, like it's literally par for the course. It makes a great story. And you realize, OK, I can't do that shit again. But like I said, I wish I could tell you that the older you get, it goes away. It doesn't, bro. You're still find yourself caught up in that moment of let's go.
Absolutely. And you go back to being 24 again. I mean, as soon as you get a certain BAC, you're like, I'm a fucking young person. Look at me. Yeah. And when you wake up from a blackout and you feel and you haven't at least lost your wallet, or there's no scrapes, there's no finger pointing the wrong way, pain, you're like, man, I wasn't even trying last night.
Bro, I couldn't use my phone because I fell and the screen was all, you know, upshifted. So when I touched, bro, I had to go get that. But it was, and then Hooter, my son, he's like, bro, did you turn 53 or 21? The hell is wrong with you?
Your son.
So you're absolutely right, Tom. You do, forget.
Todd.
My bad. I'm over here thinking I'm on Uncle Tom, bro.
We almost jumped a fool the other day, called him that.
My apologies. That switch happens and you're just, you know, it's just age a snowball.
Age goes away when that switch hits.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
Our listeners know this, Martin, but on my son's 21st birthday, he had to drive me home. I blacked out on my son's 21st birthday. Will took him out. The whole crew were like, all the Pat McAfee crew, everybody were like, well, we're going to get you all fucked up, but you're 21, dude, you're 21. We take him downtown. He's ended up putting me to bed.
That's hysterical, bro.
Now, you guys have a lot of things similar in common, like, Todd was shot at a lot in his job as a detective for 22 years, Martin. And you were shot at, you were some shootouts in Wilmington in the 80s. So Martin was buck wild in the 80s.
Well, listen, it wasn't like I was out there gangbanging or nothing, but there was, you'd leave a party and next thing you know, so like I remember being in a car being chased and next thing you know, the back window blows out and we're just speeding down the freeway and you're literally getting shot at by who knows who, being a teenager, you know, and you're just like, and the crazy part, bro, is that down the street from where I live, there's a little section of Wilmington called Ghost Town, right? Mm-hmm. And it was right next to the Pick Your Part by Junkyard. And back in the 80s, that's where like Freeway Ricky would drop off some of the crack cocaine. And that's where it would get sold right there, right? And the line to get into this section of town looked like the line at In-N-Out Burger for those people that are in the West Coast that are familiar with In-N-Out Burger. And we used to be partying at my friend's house there. and gunfights would just erupt, and we would just duck under the car thinking that this is 100% normal. No idea that this doesn't go on in other neighborhoods. Just like dumb teenagers thinking that this is the way life is. We duck, the gunfire would stop, the chasing would stop, and then we'd get our a flashlight, because nobody had a cell phone back then. You get a flashlight and you go looking for the crack that they drop, so maybe you get a little extra bonus. So get like, you know, I had guns pulled on me. Not because, like I said, I was like this crazy cholo or gang member, just because it was just being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And, fortunate to be here today talking about it, bro. You know, it's insane. You know, I mean, you sound like you got shot at because you were doing, you know, it was in the line of work. Me, it was just in the line of fire.
You were just trying to be a kid. I mean,
I was just trying to be a kid.
I can imagine. I mean, man, what a place to come up at. And you're right. I guess you just habituate, like you're like, no, this is how life is, right? For everybody.
It's normal. That's normal.
It's normal. Yeah. So Wilmington, the zip code is 90744. And then when people say, so is it still pretty hoodie? You know, what I always say is like, well, till this day, there's still no Starbucks in 90744. So when Starbucks says, fuck your hood, it's pretty hood, you know?
Yeah. But, dude. And now we've come all the way to this past weekend. Tell us your event you just pulled off for the you and Hooter Yo-Yo podcast. Now, Martin, so, first of all, came up with this new idea that I love, Todd.
Okay,
he has he's mixing religion and weed, and at these like these live shows, he has like you do you actually do offerings like the Catholic Church and shit, right? Like that. Yeah, it's just this awesome, cool idea.
So
it accumulated to yes this weekend. What happened?
Now, so this weekend we did what we called Weenasso Fest, which was like a hot dog festival in Baja California on the beach, right? Where we fed people hot dogs. The ticket included admission to the show, couple of drinks, hot dogs, and a miracle prayer candle, right?
That he makes himself.
That I make myself, right? And you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the evangelicals, but when they speak in tongues, they throw out a Satara Katashanda and then everything's fixed, right? So the candle says Satara Katashanda on it. What led to all this was that a few years ago when we started the podcast, we started doing these live events. And I'm like, I want to do something more than a comedy show. I want to have like this thing to be like, you know, just almost like a variety show, but engaging the people in different things. So what we did with we'd have like a communion where people would come out and we'd give them edibles with Miracle Drizzle, which was medicated icing, right? We did one on Ash Wednesday and we had blunt ashes. We're putting yo on people's foreheads. They were calling Hooter
yo,
Saint Hooter. They were calling them Saint Hooter. We had the wow, red wine that's called Blood of Christ over at Harvel's. I don't know if you remember the Blood of Christ wine, Sean, but we're serving that. They got the edible. G. Riley screaming, dip it in the blood, it tastes better. so we did a few of those. We did a Christmas one where it was on January 6th on a lot of Latino or Latinx, I don't know what the hell, customs, they celebrate the three wise men and baby Jesus when they bring him gifts. So that's when a lot of people get gifts versus the 25th. And they do this cake, and in the cake is this round, almost like a bundt cake, but flatter. And in one of the pieces, there's a baby Jesus cooked into it. And whoever gets the baby Jesus has to throw the party next year with all the fixings, right?
Nice.
So what we did, since it was before the 6th, we called it the preemie baby Jesus. And if you got the preemie baby Jesus, then you got paddled by a dominatrix on the stage, right? And so people were like, oh my God, how are you going to do a preemie baby Jesus? And we're like, relax, he still makes it to the crucifixion. It's all good. so we've been doing these shows for a while. And so we Naso Fest in Baja, you know, we just said, hey, man, let's go to the beach. Mainly because we didn't know what was going to happen in California with all the restrictions. This past weekend was literally my first time on stage in over a year. And just because things over here weren't open and the things that weren't open, you're like, you know what? I'm not trying to fuck around with this thing. I know there's a lot. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, this shit ain't real, blah, blah, blah. You know, it might not. I'm not taking any chances. I'm in that high risk group in so many levels, man. I've been smoking for years, doing drugs for years. I'm a little overweight. Last thing I need is fucking, you know, the flu to take me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So stay careful. So we said, let's do it outside. Baja should be open by April. And sure as shit, we had a couple that got married the night before.
That's celebrated. South of DJ? How far is the drive?
It's between Rosarito and Ensenada.
Okay.
So about maybe 35, 40 minutes from the border.
Okay. So that's south. Just south. Yeah. Like the border with of San Diego, Todd.
Correct. Correct. Just south of the border there.
So there in Mexico, they did all this.
Bro, we're in Mexico, on the beach.
Did you do a stage? Did you have like what?
Yeah, there was a stage. There was a stage. So it was a proper venue. It's a bar with a big backyard with a bunch of like, you know, a metal slab as a stage with the ocean right there. A big old pit for fire. A grill. It was actually super super awesome. It's a perfect venue for it.
Yeah, sounds incredible.
And it was my first time on stage. Like I said, the audience was just awesome. First of all, there's a bunch of retired Americans that live in this particular property. And so they're just out there like, hey, man, I'm not trying to spend my retirement money struggling to pay rent in some shitty apartment when I could come here, live on the beach, eat lobster and drink $2 beers. Like, you know, you do the math and you're like, I'm going and I'm 30 minutes from the border. You know, who's better than you at that point?
Yeah.
So
you're the one making them. That's how you make a decision.
So those people that are there and then plus people that came from the U.S. side. Again, there was a couple that had gotten married. They celebrated their honeymoon at We Not So Fest, which was like, what the hell, man? We have some hardcore fans on the Yo-Yo-Yo podcast. And look, before I keep going about the Yo-Yo-Yo podcast, let me congratulate you guys on your podcast, because look, I think you guys' chemistry, I heard a couple of your episodes. I know that you're working on, you know, you're hitting up all your Rolodex people and getting all these guests lined up. And want you to know that, you know, not to name drop, but we got the Pope and Danny DeVito are big fans of the Yo 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 podcast. Yeah. And so I shot them a text message. Hopefully they give you guys a call.
Nice.
And they come join you guys, all right? I put in a good word. I said, hey, these guys are top of the line. So, you know, the Pope is a little busy and Danny DeVito might come up a little short. But, you know, I did my best.
We'll go with Danny DeVito first, man. If you can.
Yeah. He's a legend. Not so that the Pope's not a legend. Yeah. I mean, pretty big deal.
Yeah, dude, the Pope is a motherfucker, bro. Did you see that that model chick from Brazil that the Pope's account liked her freaking picture with the big old booty and the giant Nata Gata is her name.
Hey, that's just a religious man. That's a religious gentleman admiring the work of the Lord.
I agree 100%. Hallelujah. And God bless.
I mean, Picasso paintings are on the wall for a reason.
Because they're art.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just God's creation through his artist that he's created.
They're beautiful. To be admired. They're to be looked at and appreciated and like buttoned.
Yes. I think he should have stood by it, bro.
Oh, I think so too.
I wish he could just oversell it like that. Listen. This isn't about sexuality. This is about the artistry of the human physique.
Let me tell you something, Sean. Yeah. You know what needs to happen to the goddamn papacy? It needs to happen the same shit that happened to the White House with Donald Trump, where he rewrote the role of the president. You need to have a pope that don't give any fucks and just goes in there and says, hey, fuck it. We're doing this. Like, we don't give a shit. Yes. Do you know how many followers the Pope would have if he said, hey, Christians, fake news. It's all about the Catholics.
Oh, yeah.
Mormons eat a dick.
Religious beef.
If he just fucking slammed other religions tweets and shit.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Just dropping Mormon memes, bro.
All you Mormons.
From the
sad.
Hey, that's a fun made-up religion you guys got there since 1890. Oh, so the guy just decided he wanted to fuck everybody and marry them all.
Yeah, golden tablets were in his backyard. Oh, and he's not allowed to show a single person other than himself. Okay, yeah, got it. You just got poped. Boom. Yeah.
You just got poped.
I love that part of it. Just really getting into the Pope, just going ham, and then everybody else gets into it. And then we got the Middle East, all the different Middle East religions getting into it.
Oh, yeah. You got the Muslims talking shit.
It's going to make gangster rap, the 90s gangster rap battle look like like a fight at play school.
Bro, I would tune in.
But can you imagine the fun? Like, watching the left and right go at it constantly is fucking hilarious right now.
It's comedy.
I mean, if you had each religion going after each religion right now, in the same way the left's going after, at least Catholic and Protestant, let's let them go at it like left and right, you know?
It would be the best, bro. You know, during the pandemic, they had some of these televangelists, you know, telling people that it was a curse from God because, you know, we let the gays get married. And so God's mad and he sent this plague over the land, right?
You're right.
And now, but if you put your hand to the TV screen, I will heal you from the cold. And I'm like, this is fantastic. Then so it inspired me. It inspired me. And I started Heretic Ministries. And for a few Sundays, I did a service. Sometimes there'd be 15 people. Sometimes there'd be 50. But I would sit there and preach. I'd be drinking whiskey, smoking weed. And then at the end, I'd finger them. I said, put your finger on your TV screen, on your phone screen, and get your miracle fingering, whatever. It is that you're laughing. Get your finger in for you'll get your healing if you believe. And then after a few weeks, people were like, okay, we're here for the fingering.
That's beautiful, dude.
I had to entertain myself, bro.
I assume this all works really well because you have a lot of knowledge, like religiously. Like did you came up hardcore Catholic, but did you study it beyond that?
I did. I actually, I came up Catholic. I grew up Catholic, did the whole catechism thing, a lot of the Catholic guilt for sure. And then I actually became a born again Christian. I completely gave my life over to Jesus and I started studying the Bible like crazy. At about 19, had a beautiful girlfriend. We'd get horny and make out, and then as soon as like the rubbings, you know, like the grinding, the dry humping, once that started, then we'd stop and we'd like pray for God to take away our horniness because we didn't want to sin. That's how deep I was.
Wow.
And the horniness was still there. Even with the prospect of hell, I was still fucking busting loads. And the crazy part is that they tell you, you know, I was serious. I'd go to the youth pastor and people and I'd be like, hey, man, I don't know what to do. I'm praying and I'm still horny. And she was hot. Of course I was horny. And so they go, well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, if your right eye causes you to sin, it's better to pluck it out and enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than to burn in hell with both eyes. And I'm like, what the? So then you got to get rid of your girlfriend, which is pretty devastating because then then they said, don't jack off. Well, of course, if you're a teenager and you don't jack off, you're going to have wet dreams, bro.
Yeah.
Like, my white butt huggers were, I had to throw them away. There's no way I could put them in the dirty laundry, bros. I ran out of underwear, bro. Like, I'm wearing shorts as underwear just because I was embarrassed. You know, I'm going to tell my mom, hey, mom, I'm going to do wet dream. The priest said, the pastor said, but I did a lot of reading and just historical analysis on how religions came to be, and that'll make you furious when you start finding out just how much it was used to manipulate people and how fucked up it is. And I don't want to turn this into a whole religion.
No, but you're beautiful. So right. I mean, not that I've studied it like that, but yeah, there's a lot of fucking bad shit in the origin of religion. I mean,
yeah,
let's go.
Yeah.
But now, but after years of, you know, going through cycles like that, mm-hmm. you know, then you obviously grounded off and leveled off and just became, you just lived morally well. Like you just lived a morally strong life. You weren't a bad, you're a good dude. Now it all kind of comes around, like in your late 40s, early 50s. Now you're like mixing your lifestyle, whether it's, and Todd, we haven't even talked about Martin's sexual lifestyle, which is another he was a wild gentleman. Well, not wild. I'm saying, let's say compared to what the average person thinks, and then you talk to him.
Oh, you mean as far as what you're into? You don't have like a sex cult or something you're running over there?
No, not yet.
Listen to me, Martin. Listen, I think you could be really successful at this. And I'm only judging that by your appearance right now, which is kind of like, you know, the cult leader. Like you have the beard, you have the long hair, and you have the perfect throne chair behind you right now.
That's fucking phenomenal.
If people aren't looking at this on video, you're missing out on this chair and this look right now. We'll screenshot this and put it out. But you look right now, if you were to be like, hey, Todd, you know who we got on today? Special guest. He runs a sex cult. I'd be like, yes, he does. Look.
You know, it's funny. If you read my bio on Instagram, it says grandpa, dad, comic, Reiki master, guru.
He's a guru.
Yes. I am a guru. So when people tell me, oh, did you see that so-and-so's a CEO? I go, what? Who's a CEO? It says it on his bio. I go, motherfucker, my shit says guru.
It's
what got you that title right there. But it's fantastic.
It's how on people, Instagram. It's real.
Bro.
You've mixed, at this stage of your life, you've mixed your religious, your moral religious, you know, aspect with your, you know, lifestyle, how you live as both sexually and just socially, and all to mix in also with the wisdom of the human that you've grown to be, whether it's father, friend, you know, partner. And it's very creative, and I really enjoy it because not many people are honest enough to actually put it all on Front Street and bring it together. Because you can't, it's hard to mix religion with anything.
It is. So it really is.
The way you're doing it with this, with your obviously being a guru style human, where you do what you do and you mix it together, it's fun. And now you're doing festivals where you're making cakes and spanking people on stage where you bless them with the fucking sacrament. I mean, it's unbelievable, and I love it.
We had moon water at We Not So Fest for the first time, which was fantastic as well.
Tell them what that is.
Well, you know, I put it under the full moon. I put a bunch of water out there, and then I do my wiki, which is, you know, the magic that I do. And then whatever intention I set for that particular batch of water, whether it is love, passion, sexual energy, financial stability, financial gain, direction, health, whatever different things may be, I put that intention. I put crystals in there to help that energy and charge it with the moon. And then I jar it up, and then, you know, people get it and get blessed with it, you know?
Damn, I love this so much.
It's instead of religion, what I like to think I found is spirituality. And what it is, it's basically like, a rebellion of all the bullshit that was taught to me. Because what happens when that religion is shoved down your throat, you learn a horrible, horrible perspective of what life should be. And I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, But in my experience, it's what it was. And, you know, part of it was the whole wives be submissive to your husbands. The man is always in charge. The man is in control. The man this. In my home, you know, my sisters were expected to give me food. Like, as I sat my lazy ass to, my sister had a job. I smoked weed all day, but yet she was expected to serve me because I was the male. Up until my early 20s, I was arguing with people that washing dishes was a woman's job. Now, a lot of this is cultural and religious. And that, I think, is where we need to start addressing that there's an issue. You know, there's these people, you know, the toxic masculinity that everybody screams about, and rightly so, has been taught to people. You're not just born thinking this is a man's job, this is a woman's job. No, they put you in a freaking box and said, this is blue, this is pink. You do this, you do that. You, anything that it that strays from that is wrong. And we need to start addressing that shit at the root and start unfucking it.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I don't want to get too crazy about the dishes thing, but the other stuff I agree with a lot. And the I'm just not a big dishes guy. So I love that. I really try to hang on to that role association if I can. But I love this so much. And I don't know, I guess probably because of my age, you know, I'm getting ready to turn 50 here soon. Okay. And I'm just kind of, and I kind of lived such a conservative lifestyle before, you know, I was Catholic light Easter and, you know, I would go on Easter and Christmas and all that stuff. And I just, I don't know. I think it's just because of all that. I'm just hitting a point in my life now because I've been in comedy like 11 years now. I'm such a different person. I'm exposed to so many different things than I had been before. I am chasing so hard. Something like that. You know what I mean? Like right now, if I could just find some little fucking, I don't know if you want to call it hippie commune or some little place to go and spend the rest of my 20, 25, 30 years, whatever I got, I think I would leave tomorrow.
Bro, you know, we're on that same wavelength. And in my head, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've lived and chased a lot of bullshit because you chase things that don't really matter in your early years, things that you think are important and you don't even think they're important. You believe that they are because that's what you were told was important. Mm-hmm. And then you get to a point in your life where, wait the fuck a minute, how much time do I really got left on this ball? And how am I going to spend that time? And at that point, when you come to that realization, every move that you make after that is extremely purposeful. Mm. You know, I don't want to just go do a bullshit show. I want to go do a show where I'm going to have a fucking blast. You know,
yeah.
I want to have a good time. I want to sit there and put blunt ashes on people's forehead and not be judged. if somebody wants to show up wearing fucking leather chaps and a thong with their boyfriend and they're both dudes, fucking have at it, bro. Nice, you know, yeah. I don't care who you fuck, you know. Larry Flint, rest in peace, wrote a great book with a professor from Columbia University. It's called One Nation Under Sex. It is one of the most amazing reads that I've ever dived into. What they're basically saying is how this country has passed laws and governed because of fear that their sex life would be exposed. So when somebody had dirt on them, they were able to manipulate the way that they govern. And that has been the case from day one.
Yes.
And he goes back to the founding fathers and shows just how out of their mind these guys were animals. If they would try to run for office today, they'd be laughed out of freaking Washington. There'd be no way they could even think about running. But back then, without them, we never have a United States of America. These guys were out in France fucking anything that moved in their freaking 60s and 70s. These, you know, you want to talk about Ben Franklin being a freak. You want to talk about these dudes, just, you know, Abraham Lincoln and his dirt and the homosexual sexuality and Dolly Madison and the freaking sex parties that they had, you know, it was, you know, amazing shit. And what Larry Flynt was basically saying, we got to stop caring about how people fuck and worry more about how they govern the right way. They shouldn't make decisions based on fear that their homosexuality is going to be exposed. We got bigger fish to fry than wondering if this dude likes to suck dick. We got national security and cyber threats to deal with, and we need to stop giving a fuck about this crap that doesn't matter. It's a brilliant book.
I am all about that. And that's some of that shit that Alex Jones was talking about. I forget that place in California. He's always like bastardizing that they used to trap people that way. They would get heads of state and people of influence, and they would have them there knowing that they were gay, but closeted, of course, because of the time. Mm-hmm. And then they would go there and they'd be like, hey, this is a place where you could really just express yourself. It's fine. And then they would have sex, and then they would use that against them.
Correct.
We got pictures and video of you being gay. And then they could control them for the rest of their careers. And, you know, and then Alex Jones blew it up into being a bunch of other bullshit. But that part, factually true. And we were talking about that one episode, Sean. Like, this is exactly why we will never accept a free hooker, because we're like, oh yeah, yeah, something you set me up for something. But they were easier prey, because when you're having to deny who you are as a human being, and someone finally presents you with an opportunity to be able to be you, and it's okay, it's safe here, and then you use that against them. Fuck you. You're burning in whatever hell is.
It's evil. It's evil shit.
And we're barely turning now. I sucked a few dicks last week, but that's not even a big deal. You know what I mean? This podcast is bigger than that. We got obviously Pete Buttigieg. Like, it's starting to happen just now in the 21st century, which is insanity.
Yeah. My buddy was just telling me that his 13-year-old daughter went through, like, she's trying to figure herself out, but he thought she was just doing it because this is what everybody's doing in school right now. Like, she wasn't really being earnest about it, but she was going through, and she goes, I thought it was this, and she's like, now I've decided I'm pansexual. And he looked at her and he goes, listen, I don't give a shit who you have sex with as long as you're not having sex. And he shut the door and just walked out. I was like, that is the most beautiful dad answer. Like, I don't care who you're having sex with, but also you're not allowed to have sex. Dude, that's the most contemporary yet still throwback to the old school dad answer I've ever heard in my life.
I mean, look, we're going through a whole revolution with sexual identity right now, and it is just beginning. You know, old dudes are fighting it. I'm not fighting it. I'm like, hey, man, I'm not that guy that says this is fucking bullshit, because it's the way that things are going. You've got the new Marvels coming up with the gay Captain America, right? Mm-hmm. And now there are people in my age group that are having a discussion. Oh my God, bro. Can you?
Gonna be all kinds of people like, Captain America's not gay, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
can you believe it?
You can't change history. Captain America, like, that's not history, bro. It's a fun comic book. Like,
correct. Yeah, and they're like, but they're having this conversation of, can you believe it? And you've got people that are 15 and younger that don't give a shit. And in their eyes, it's like, yeah, well, why wouldn't there be a gay Captain America? Like, that's fine. That's, you know, that's not a big deal. And that generation is 10 years removed from being the main, you know, influencers out there, the people with money and the people buying shit and dictating shit. And the dinosaurs that aren't about it, they're going to be fucking irrelevant. You know, like those dudes at the Tokyo Olympics. Is it Tokyo? Where the Olympics are, you seeing all the committee guys that are getting fired?
No, why are they? Because they're gay,
bro. So Japan is trying to be more inclusive for women, right? They're trying to be more, and we talked about this. We did a whole episode on this almost. And so the guy that headed the committee is a guy named Yoshiro. He's in his 70s, and he goes, yeah, it's fine that we got women coming to these meetings, but they just got to learn how not to talk so much, because they get to talking. Next thing you know, they all start talking, and then we're here for hours. So I don't mind them here as long as they, you know, shut the fuck up. And so we did this whole thing about, I'm like, oh, I go, Yoshiro say, shut the fuck up. You know, like, and my son Hooter was like, Yoshiro probably hears a woman talking, and he just, he just starts revving up, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
And so of course he had to resign for that. And I'm thinking, okay, you want to be inclusive to women and you get a freaking 70 plus year old Asian man,
Japanese dude,
you know, to these guys have been bound to, you know, it's like honorable man, you know, and now you want him to be open-minded. You're out of your fucking mind. Right. So then he had to resign. Right. And this was literally within the last couple months. A few weeks after that, this might have been about a month ago, the dude that was in charge of this guy's name was Hiroshi, and he was in charge of the opening ceremony, right? And they had this this comedian out there who is plus size, and she was going to be part of the opening ceremony. The guy that's in charge of the opening ceremony planning committee says, you know, what we should do is lower her into the stadium, but we dress her up like a pig, and we call her Olympic.
Oh my God.
Okay. Now he threw this out there. Okay. And of course,
he was like, yeah, nailed it. He thought it was the most brilliant thing it's ever been.
High fiving all the homies, bro.
Bro, he's like, how are they not liking this shit? It's genius. Now, could you imagine the shit that he thought? Nah, this is horrible. This is too toxic.
Yeah,
that's not going to work. But Olympic, you see what I did there? Huh? Fucking genius, bro.
That's the one. That was the censored fucking one. Like, he threw out 10 before in his head, like, oh, that's way too sexist.
You know,
oh,
but again, look, you're talking about dudes in their 70s, mm-hmm. and you're talking about a culture where fat shaming is 100% acceptable. You know, if you're overweight, they'll poke you in your stomach and be like, hey, chubby, you know, now.
little throwback there.
So again, it comes down to that generation has to get weeded out, bro. And the people like our age have got to be, and I'm not saying, you know, there's big conspiracy to have everybody jump on board. We just got to be more tolerant, more accepting, and more open-minded that a lot of the crap that they told us was just that crap, you know, and trash, bro. Again, I thought I grew up like misogynistic. This motherfucker, they've been bowing. You know, like, you want to get rid of them guys saying that. Let's get rid of the bowing out there first.
Yeah. I mean, Japan has to be one of the hardest cultures. I mean, women, they're not even allowed to talk there.
No, they're not allowed to do a lot of things there that they are here. It's freaking ancient. It's just ancient, like, their culture. Especially, I'm sure it's changing with the younger people. But like you said, you start putting 70-year-old dudes from that culture in charge, and you think that you're not going to. You're not going to put women on the back burner? I mean, bro, come on, dude.
Do you think they're going to say something woke?
Yeah. I don't want to change the subject real quick, but you guys probably heard a minute ago, Martin's earbud fell out. And that only happened because he was wearing the earbuds that came with his phone. Now, if he would have been wearing Raycon earbuds, of course, that wouldn't have happened because they're a whole different fit, Martin. We're going to have to send you some because I don't know about you, but one of my favorite ways right now to relax and get in my own head and separate myself from all the bullshit that's going on is to put in some comfortable earbuds, some wireless earbuds, and particularly some Raycon wireless earbuds so I don't disturb anybody else. But I get to listen to exactly what I want to listen to.
That's beautiful.
Am I right, Sean?
It sure is. You know what I love, though, Todd? It's not about just having a good quality, strong Bluetooth connection. It's not about having no wires. It's the fact that I don't have to worry about dangling wires or stems that get in your way. Mm-hmm. You know, because Raycons come in a range of stylish colorways, Todd. Oh, but they're always with a comfortable in-ear fit for a more discreet look.
Always. And Martine, you can't tell because I'm wearing headphones right now and I'm facing forward, but I have the weirdest shaped ear holes. Like
you got some weird ear holes, bro.
The earbuds you're wearing right now, I mean, mm-hmm. they'll stay in there for like 30 seconds.
Same here.
I can't shake my head at all.
Now, on your Raycons, how's the battery life on those? How's the charging?
Oh,
you get like 6 hours on these mugs.
What?
6 hours of playtime. You want to unplug? You got a 6 hour flight? You going coast to coast? You like Drake and shit in different every day? You're a different airport. Doesn't matter because the Raycon earbuds have 6 hours of playtime, Martin.
Send me a link. I got to get these.
We will. We can get you 15% off all their products.
What? That code goes, word? Yeah. What's the code word?
The code word. Well, you go to the URL buyraycon.com/gunsblazing. That's buyraycon.com/gunsblazing. That's
no
it.
G, right?
That's the hookup.
And you get 15% off your entire Raycon order. So that doesn't mean you're stuck with just buying one set. Let's say you want to get your son a set. So the whole podcast crew has it over there where you're at. Then grab a pair and a spare. That's 15% off.
And you know, and the thing is this, is that they're built to perform anywhere, anytime with water and sweat resistant construction, Martin. Okay. What? You know you get sweaty, bro, when you're jamming.
Oh, I get sweaty, bro. Yeah,
you're a sweaty ass, dude.
They're built for it. They're built for it. Buyraycon.com/gunsblazing for 15% off. That goes for all of you. Do it.
I love
everybody,
it.
Bro. Gets the hook up, bro.
Dude, you got such a fucking interesting background. I'm loving this conversation. Yeah. Not just the background, like fucking what's going on right now. I love the way you're living your life.
I mean, I like to touch on what's going on right now with a little history. I mean, like, for instance, we're talking about Japan. Do you know the history of Bukkake?
So got anything to do with the fucking the treated nuclear waste, bro? Are they about to dump back into the ocean or not?
Listen, you know, Bukkake, we think it's just a video where dudes are just jizzing on chicks' faces on Pornhub. But this started in Japan when a woman was caught cheating on her husband. Because God forbid, you took another dick. No.
Right.
They would bury her up to her neck. And then all the towns guys would come and to humiliate her, they would bukkake her, right?
Oh,
they would,
my
they
would God. Her that's where it punishment, came from?
That's where it came from. And now there's fools jacking off on Pornhub, putting their credit card in to watch it. But the origins of it come from that. It was to punish her for being unfaithful.
Wow.
You know, Hiroshi was like looking at his wife saying, keep on talking. And
they buried him to their neck. And then everybody just came and got in line and busted off, bro.
Yeah. They just said, everybody, we found another one.
Oh, my God.
You better hope you don't marry the most dirtiest, sluttiest, like just sex, just nympho ever, because she'll be like, don't tease me with a good time, big dog.
I brought a shovel.
She's over here putting fucking flyers on car windows, dude. Hey, I'll be at the beach on Saturday at 3 o'clock, buried up to my neck. Come by.
Come one, come all. Yeah, dude.
I'll just that is fucked up. That is a fucked up ritual, bro. And I had no idea that's where it came from. Dude,
can you imagine back then, like when they're trying to decide what the punishment's going to be for that crime and quotation marks, and they're just bouncing around? Why don't we just start? You know what? Why don't we just start burying them up to their neck, and we'll all walk by and just smack one off on them, at least leave them there for a week. Yeah,
that'll teach them not to cheat.
Jesus, bro.
Yeah. What happens when we cheat? Oh, we get another loop on our belt to wrap around our robe when we get bowed to.
This guy didn't have Facebook groups back then, dude, because he could really fucking knock out 5-6 bukkakis a day if people were cheating at a high number. You're like, bro, I got 5 bukkakis to get to.
But I mean, look, there was a lot of in some cultures, if you stole something, they would chop off your hand, right?
I think they still do that in the Philippines, bro.
Well, in the Philippines, they're shooting you if you smoke weed now. You know, which is bananas.
Hey, but Thailand just went to move to legalize it.
Really?
To legalize marijuana?
Yeah, so Mexico too. It's happening, dude. It's gonna go.
It's happening.
Globe.
It's happening. I hope so. Too much money, bro. the Old Testament gives you the recipe for the anointing oil, where they used to, how they used to heal people. And when you check out the recipe, it calls for, the ingredients are myrrh, cinnamon, cassia, and the fourth ingredient is there's two translations for it. One of them is cannabossum, and the other one is calamus. Now, calamus is toxic, and when they translated the original text that was in Aramaic into it went to Greek, and then Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and eventually the King's English, that translation became calamus instead of cannabossum, which are both fragrant reeds. The difference is that calamus is toxic. It causes cancer. Cannabossum, you could feed, clothe, and heal with it. And so when they talk about store your warehouses with this so that you will be closed in the winter and you won't need this and you won't need that. When you think about the miracles that they were doing with this anointing oil, you know, you've got people being demon possessed, which could have easily been having seizures. You see on Instagram today, these kids smoke a little THC, CBD, and they stop seizing, right? There's a big argument, not even an argument, there's a big school of thought that cannabis was what was in the anointing oil. And if you get a copy of the Torah, which are the first few books of the Old Testament in the Christian Bible, when you go to that particular section and you see the original recipe, you understand there's a picture. Not only does it say cannabossum, but there's a picture of fucking weed right there.
Badass nug.
Yes, on there. So you know, for as much as I do not back up religion, there's that part that I'm like, look, guys, this is biblical and it is healing. And let me tell you something. I think it was, I want to say anywhere between 6 to 9 pounds of weed. When you put that in a concentrate, my brother, that on your head and anoint a priest, that motherfucker's going to have some visions and see things, and the spirit will speak to him. And so for those people that are still fighting weed, please understand that this is not only scriptural, but you could go back to the days of the Scythians, and they were using it in spiritual practices as well.
Yeah, and also knock it off. Like, fucking, yeah. What are you doing? Like, nobody has any bad stories from their childhood. Like, oh, God, we hated when Dad got high.
I mean, no,
you loved when Dad got high because fucking three flavors of ice cream. Like, you know.
Amen, brother.
Shit would go pop off. Like, nobody has horrible stories about it. So fucking knock it off.
Except for that one Republican, that GOP, I don't know if he's a senator or who he was. He's a hardcore right-wing media guy. He said he smoked weed one time, and he woke up 4 days later in Kenya. You're like, wow, you just floated on through fucking customs into Kenya, huh? Because I've been to Amman Jordan, bro, and let me just tell you right now, ain't nobody sleeping through customs in Amman Jordan. You're going to bump your head on the fucking butt of an M16.
Yeah, also you were fucking, you got wet. You were smoking that shirt.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, you were smoking that wet. Yeah, sure. Oh, my God. That brought back some flashbacks. I'd rather talk about Amman Jordan, bro. We went to Jordan. We went to the ancient city of Petra, which is incredible. And we also floated around in the Dead Sea.
How amazing did your skin feel? Well, first, Todd, before you go into the Dead Sea, you got to get there's a bucket of the Dead Sea mud that they dig up and put in there for you. Mm-hmm. And then you just cover your body, neck down, and then all over your face, right? Mm-hmm. You cover yourself in this mud, and then you go into the Dead Sea, and you just float. And you get out feeling, I don't think majestic is a stretch, Martin.
Oh, dude, it's beyond, you walk out of there floating. Now I understand how Jesus walked on water. He put this mud on, and then he just started shimmying across that freaking
And the Dead
water.
Sea is so buoyant that he had, if you light on your feet, you get a good running start.
Yeah.
You can get across a little bit of the water.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. You know, you could look across the way and you see Israel over there, you know.
That's incredible.
just, for a dude that grew up where I told you guys where I grew up, that's almost like, when is somebody going to pull the rug out from under me? You know, what am I doing here? Like,
bro, remember, we were banging.
I'm funny, but I'm not that funny. Come on.
Hey, man, bro, Todd, we were in like an 8-car fucking military
caravan,
but it was all bulletproof Mercedes vans and shit.
Nice.
Just bullying traffic in this 8-car government issued fucking caravan. Just
on the way to eat hummus.
To go eat hummus at midnight in the fucking shops in like their nighttime markets.
Yeah.
Like, get out. Remember when we were with that diplomat, the female diplomat or whatever? She's the mayor of Jordan. Mm-hmm. And she had her own hookah. And while we sat and ate that fucking 86 plate. It was like 86 plates of food on this table. Yeah. They're throwing this most amazing bread you've ever had. While she sat there with like this, like the diplomacy and the like. There was just something about her.
She just carried herself like a diplomat.
Yeah. Like someone who rides around in bulletproof caravans all day is a government official in the Middle East, where they're considered Western almost, you know? Mm-hmm.
I almost put in for one of those jobs, diplomat security protection details. Uh-huh. Like, I almost put in for one of those jobs because at the time they were trying to sign you up. Like every police department you went into, you go into a little squad room and there'd be these flyers, you know, and you could sign. It was like guaranteed you like $130,000 tax-free if you went there. Like, you didn't have to pay taxes on it. And I was like, oh, fuck, I might think about doing that. Because in the movies, you see them all the way back to like Patriots game with Harrison Ford. Mm-hmm. Like the guys, they got the little Uzis in their jackets and shit, you know, and they're in those SUVs. But I was like,
it looks sexy as fuck.
It does. But I'm sure it probably actually sucks, you know?
Yeah. The stress level's got to be through the roof.
Yeah.
But you get $130,000 tax free. That's almost a fucking $250,000 American job right there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But, for sure. But damn, Martin, we can't thank you enough for coming on, homie. Brother. I needed some Martin fucking enlightenment. I needed to share your enlightenment with our fans and my boy Todd here. You got Fluffy just announced some. We over the years we went off and try to do our own thing and we try to become our own people. You know, because Gabriel knows like we can't completely grow as humans as only opening for him.
Of course.
Like that's what. But you guys are reuniting back in San Antonio for a week coming up, which is fucking gonna be. I almost want to fly there myself and buy a ticket.
He just added a second week because that week sold out.
So that venue is like 5,000 seater, Todd.
Of course.
I think they're doing COVID seating still just to be safe, but still, it's still a ridiculous number. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So first week sold out, and they just added another week. He just announced it, so congratulations to Big Fluffy. He hit me up. He's like, and we haven't toured together since he took his break, I think, which was back in
18, 17,
something like that. It's been a minute, and I'm looking forward to that. And San Antonio is like the perfect freaking spot, bro. It's an amazing city.
I almost want to take Todd just to experience like how Texas looks at Fluffy.
Like, look at him like a god. Literally like a god.
People come to him, they want to touch him. They'll have terminal diseases and they want to just touch him.
Jesus. We were in San Antonio, and I think you were with us, Sean. We went to that restaurant, and that family had just gotten back from burying their son. I don't know if you were there at that time. So this family, they're having dinner after they just buried this young man who had been in an accident, and they see Gabe there, and then they're telling us the story about how they buried this young person. And how Gabe was his favorite comedian. So they had pictures and CDs and DVDs of Gabriel in the freaking coffin with this guy for the afterlife. And then they happen to see him at the restaurant and they're like, oh my God, what are the odds? It's because he's with us. And when you lose a loved one, you feel that type of a, you know, like everything's a sign, you know, like my dearly departed is talking to me, and not to say that they are not trying to take away anything from this family. And so it must have been like 20, 25 of them. Gabe told the waiter, hey, man, let me take care of their tab. He took care of the tab for them. And then there was a guy walking in these, like, you know, he was like crippled and he had those sticks, you know, them sticks with the things around your wrist.
Yeah.
And I whispered to Gabe, I go, hey, Gabe, just a heads up, that guy's coming over here. He wants you to lay hands on him to see if you could heal him from his affliction. And Gabe just looked at me like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? And I'm like, I'm just fucking with you, bro. How much of that shit happened that it was just too perfect, especially when my family had just left. And I'm like, oh, you know, let me just give you a heads up, bro. This dude's coming over here.
That's amazing.
Dude,
thanks so much for coming on, man. This has been great. Dude,
thank you guys so much for having me. And congratulations on your podcast, and keep kicking ass.
Make sure you guys listen to Yo 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 podcast. That's the Yo 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 podcast. Obviously, everywhere podcasts are found. Martin, tell them where they follow you.
Just martinmoreno.com. All my links are there. So
Comic Instagram.
Martin Comic on Instagram. But all the links, like I said, are on martinmoreno.com. And hey, man, thank you guys.
Thanks, brother.
Many blessings. I'll send you guys some moon water.
Yes.
Some miracle prayer candles.
Let's go, bro.
Hope to meet you in person sometime. I'll tag along with Sean when he goes.
Dude, it'd be a pleasure, man.
Love you, buddy.
All right, man. Take it easy, guys.
Take care, brother. Oh, yeah.